all of which spells Jewry. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here. This is August 27, 2017. And welcome to Bloodlines, where we're going to continue to discuss the feast days until the day of Feast of Tabernacles, when Pastor Steve and I and many others are going to be observing the Feast of Tabernacles. It's very, very important that we become attuned to the meaning and observance of the Hebrew feast days, because as Israelites, we are expected to, let's put it this way, cherish our heritage all the way back to Adam and to the second coming of Yahshua Messiah. And we have to be ready. And if we're not ready, we're just going to miss out. So, Pastor Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Oi, such a show we have for you today. Yes. Such a deal.
Yes. Anybody who has been halfway awake has been observing that the Jews media and all the Jew-owned platforms for social networking have been removing the websites of various white nationalists. We're on the hit list, and suddenly our PayPal, our Amnet Pub PayPal account is not working properly, and I haven't had time to delve into that to find out why. But we were on the hit list. We were actually number 24 on the ADL SPLC hit list of sites to be taken down. So if that, and then this morning my Skype account somehow got turned off. I never touched that. I leave it on constantly. And we see that the globalists and the leftists, which are one and the same Jewish organization, the left-wing totalitarian dictatorship known as Talmudic Judaism, disguising itself as God's chosen people and the social justice weirdos, are enacting the prophecy of you shall not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Okay. That's what's happening, folks. Your comment, Pastor Steve. That's your comment?
It's so blatant.
Yes.
That they are panicking.
Yes.
What happens when you get a rat trapped in a corner?
Uh-huh. Right?
Okay. What happens? Okay. Well, that's what we're dealing with is I'm going to make a bad pun. The rat race.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
the Jews have created the rat race. There's no doubt.
They are cockroaches. When you turn the light of truth on in your kitchen, if you're living in your downtown tenement, all the cockroaches scatter.
Yeah,
well, right. We're turning the light of Yahweh's truth on in this world, which is nothing more than a downtown tenement, because we have sunk down into the moral slums and the cockroaches are scattering.
Yes.
And we've managed to stomp on a few.
Right.
More to come, and we got to get the spray count out, and they'll yell, "Raid!"
Yeah, yeah.
And look, we're winning. You don't catch flack unless you're over the target.
That's right. That's right.
And we have been hitting them every which way but truth, just every which way but loose.
Yes.
And Revolution Radio, that carries Eli's show, they're hitting them. They're under attack,
right,
too. All
right.
Of us are under attack. So... hit the doggone donate button, for heaven's sake.
Well,
I'm begging for money. I'm begging for money. I don't see any of the money.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
Server time ain't free, sports fans.
Yeah. Okay, so what we've got going here is we're under attack by you-know-who, right? And
exactly.
the more truth bombs you drop on the Jew World Order, the more attack they come back, the more flack we get, all right? So,
Well, the problem with that is, for them, once the goyim know,
right.
They know.
The goyim
and
know.
They won't unknow. I mean, people are waking up. Yahweh has blessed us with this venue to put the truth out there, his truth. And he is waking up, and the remnant is gathering slowly but surely. We are increasing in number.
Yes.
We see that by the show stats and the emails and the participation. I think here in Kentucky, we're going to have one of the biggest tabernacles we've had.
Yes.
It looks that way. It we're going to have a whole bunch of people coming from all over, because we're going to have all kinds of seminars and teachings and herbal, you know, what plants to look for. I'm bringing my whole go pack, so you see how I have everything arranged. I will be printing up, if I can get my printer back in line. I got to get a drum. I'm going to order it the first part of September. I got to get a drum for it. It's only about $10. But I have the whole poor printer apart on the other desk. It's in pieces. Because you can't get to the drum without taking it completely apart.
Oh, wow.
Well, but it's a killer printer. It's a Brother.
Okay. And, yeah, a Brother.
Nothing like a Brother.
Right, nothing like a Brother. But, yeah.
I will have a bunch of lists printed up and stapled together in a little booklet form. And all the stuff that you need with the little boxes for a checklist, and you can check stuff off. And hey, it's going to be cool. We're going to enjoy it.
Yes,
it's going to be a nice time.
That's cool in the sense of weather temperature, or cool in the sense of neat. It'll be both.
Yes, both.
Both. It'll be both. That's but, a good thing.
October is spectacular.
Oh yeah. The leaves will be turning.
Trees, and it won't be so blistering hot.
Right.
And it's just going to be wonderful. And we're not the only ones that are doing this. There are tabernacles going to be held all over by the observant.
That's right. That's right.
Now, there's a lot of CI groups that are just not heard from, but they exist.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to be targeted, right? So,
Know, hey, we're right out front. We're taking the flak. That's not a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people have become Jew-wise, and that's
right.
A good thing.
Right. Right. And even a lot of the preppers, because I get the word from Doc Waterman that a lot of the preppers are really with us, and they're not observant Israelites, but they know that the flak and the totalitarianism is coming down. They know it. Even though they're not entirely Jew-wise, they know it's time to get ready.
I want to make a comment. I was listening to one of William Pierce's dissertations.
Okay.
And he predicted years ago, that the internet would be attacked and attempted to be brought down because it would be a platform for the truth.
Right.
So I know William Pierce was not a Christian, but his information on the Jews and their ploys and their methods and what they were doing have been dead on, 100% accurate.
That's right. That's right.
So we use Mr. Pierce as an asset. He is not espousing Christianity or faithfulness, but he's giving information that will give a wake-up call to a number of people, so they get their foot in the door and start listening to EFR, and that's
right.
The point.
Yeah, and finding out the difference between Judaism and real Christianity.
He is a usable tool. His speeches are accurate, and in many ways prophetic. He told us what was coming down years ago. Well, boom, it's here.
Yes.
Yahweh has used many men, plus or minus faithfulness, over the years for his service. It doesn't mean he's getting in the kingdom.
Right? Right.
But his speeches are waking people up. He is partly right, and we play the sections of his speeches that are right.
Yeah.
And the rest we don't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, he may be on assignment. You know, the true Israelites, the Yahweh following Israelites, will be the government of the kingdom. Okay. And whites who have contributed to the message in any sort of way in helping wake up the white race to the Jewish question, to the Jewish problem, the elimination of the kikroaches, as Brother Abear likes to refer to, the elimination of the kikroaches is anybody who contributes to that effort, I think, will be rewarded in some way. You know, first of all, by getting into the kingdom, but not necessarily being part of the government. Okay, but the scriptures are very clear. If you get into the kingdom, whatever your role is, your life, your lifestyle, your being, your existence will be so exalted that you will look back on this world as if it were, you know, non-existent.
Well, the scripture says clearly the least mm-hmm. in the kingdom of Yahweh is greater than the highest in this world.
Right. Right. So, and so we'll be sunbathing in the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory. that's what we'll be doing. All right. Okay. So we're going to do a continuation of the meaning of Passover. I'm sorry, Pentecost. But we'll do a quick review here of the feast days. This is from the perspective of Rich Kelsey, who is obviously a Judeo-Christian, but nevertheless advocates for the observance of the Hebrew feast days. You know, because the vast majority of Judeo-Christian churches say we don't have to do that anymore. That's been done away. That was done away with at the cross, which is their typical, you know, response. However, we've been proving beyond any doubt, that Paul and the other apostles did, in fact, practice the feast days 30 years after Calvary. So the argument that the feast days have been done away with at the cross is it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. It's made-up doctrine that has been designed to keep us away from our heritage as the people of Scripture. That's the intent and purpose. And the Judeo-Christian churches are either in conspiracy with the Jews or simply flummoxed by the Jews because they believe everything
the
Jews say.
Well, they don't want to have anybody actually have to do anything except come and put money in the plate on Sunday.
Right.
Actually doing something and participating in something, especially a long feast like Tabernacles or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's just too much. I don't want to do all of that. And okay, you don't have to. It's all nailed to the cross. Well, yeah.
Except for church on Sunday.
They're teaching false doctrine.
Right.
And they want the easy way, the easy broad path.
Right.
Everybody's welcome. Oh, it doesn't matter what you do out in the world. Everybody's saved. And that Bible teaches directly against that.
Narrow is the way, yeah.
And broad is the path to destruction.
Amen. Amen. So the churches of today, and they are properly called churches because they're not Israelite assemblies in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Okay, so let them have that word church, and we'll have our assemblies. And in fact, go ahead.
If they think that these feast days are a burden, they don't know what a party is until they get all these Israelites together,
right.
And we just exult in Yahweh, and the Spirit is with us and is going around, and it is a joyous occasion.
Yes.
It
Amen.
Is not burdensome at all. It's
yes.
wonderful.
If you have not tasted Pastor Eli's breakfast tacos, you haven't lived. Okay? So whetting your appetite for Feast of Tabernacles, whether you can make our meeting or some other. And
last Tabernacles, I caught 27 trout.
Wow.
That's what I brought. That's what we were eating, Eli, in the last last couple of days were hitting like crazy, and I brought a whole bunch. I had a freezer full of trout when I came home.
Neat. So. Right. Okay. So now, the Tabernacles is the only 7-day feast day period where we actually have to go outside, but you can do it in your backyard. You know, set up a tent, or as some Jews do, they put up a plywood structure in which they go. Now, I don't know whether they stay asleep in there, but it has to be big enough for you to sleep in. Okay, so any pitch a tent in your backyard. And don't be ashamed if somebody, why are you pitching a tent in your backyard? And just tell them, none of your business, right? So this is mandatory. All Israelites, this is mandatory. And so to whatever extent you can, you know, now if you live in a high rise on Lakeshore Drive, it's going to be hard to pitch a tent in the backyard.
Well, if you've got a balcony, you can put something up on your balcony.
Yeah.
And eat your meals and stuff in it. The whole thing is the observance of it.
Right. Right.
And you read the scripture and you spend the high holy days in that, and you meditate and you read scripture on the high holy days.
Yes.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's the least you can do. Is spend the week of Tabernacles devoted to reading the law, okay? And speaking of the law, Leviticus 23:1-2 states, and from the article by Rich Kelsey, he's quoting here, Yahweh said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of Yahweh, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. Okay, not church assemblies, sacred assemblies. And Mr. Kelsey comments, God commanded the children of Israel to observe the springtime feasts of Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and weeks, also known as Pentecost. In the fall, Israel was commanded to observe the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These holy days revolved around Israel's agricultural seasons, which means they can't be Jews because the Jews don't know nothing from agriculture, absolutely nothing. Yeah, I've never seen a Jew out in the field harvesting anything, Pastor Steve. I've never seen that.
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe he's gathering his own tares.
There you go. to avoid the Holocaust, and that Holocaust of the tares is coming, folks. There's nothing they can do about it.
Well, the Judeo-Christian churches say, you must assemble. And they're talking about meeting on Sunday.
Right.
The only commanded assemblies are the ones for the feasts.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, Yahshua
said, must assemble. All Israel must assemble.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you all have to get together on the day of the sun god and worship.
Right. And Yahshua even said,
most of the early Christian churches, or I use that term loosely, assemblies.
Yes.
Met in homes. They would have two or three families that would get together.
Yes.
And that's it. No mega cathedrals, none of that. When they assembled around Yahshua Messiah, he sat on a rock, and they all sat on the ground, and he taught. He didn't have a mega cathedral, and he was God in the flesh. So, you know, they have added all these affectations.
Just like the Pharisees.
And rituals, all this ritual that they've added. And this is the way you worship. No, that's not the way you worship.
Jesus said, go into your closet and pray. There is no commandment that says you must go and leave your house and go to an assembly on Sunday. It is preferable that we do that. There is no commandment that says you must. Okay. But it is important to keep the Lord's day holy. Right. Okay. Take a break.
Sunday ain't it.
No, right? It's the first day of the week. I mean, sorry, the seventh day of the week. Man, Sunday is the first day of the week, right? But the Sabbath is the seventh day. And, of course, this has to be counted off according to the days that Yahweh gives us, okay? Not the church proclaimed or the Jew proclaimed calendar, all right? And so our people Whether they practice a solar calendar, lunar solar, or strictly lunar, they're attempting to abide by their understanding of the Holy Scriptures, okay? And not, you know, discerning the word for themselves and not following what the Judeo-churches proclaim, okay? So the mere fact that we are distancing ourselves from the Judeo-churches is a good thing, because we're told to get out of Babylon. And the Judeo churches are indeed part of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, in these last days. Okay? So just getting away from those people is a good thing. At the same time, we try to draw our Israelite brethren away from those churches by teaching true doctrine and giving them the explanation of why we do not participate in any Judeo churches.
And as we draw them away, they learn the food laws.
Right.
Which the Judeo-Christians do not follow.
That's right.
Which results in health problems. Yahweh does not give frivolous laws.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the laws for a reason.
Yes, yes.
And always to our benefit.
Yes. So this
which
is an...
they don't like to teach.
Yeah. The holy days, the feast days, revolve around Israel's agricultural seasons. And the Bible clearly says that Israel will be an agricultural people. You can see the white Israelites, the Caucasian Israelites, have literally fed the entire world with our harvests. No other people can say that. Only the Jews certainly cannot say that. Blacks can't say that. And to the extent that the Orientals grow rice and other products, it's usually for their own consumption, not for export, okay? So it's very clear that we Caucasian Israelites are the most agricultural people on the planet. And there's no disputing it. It's not even debatable. And it continues, with the harvesting of the various crops of wheat, corn, olives, figs, and grapes. Now, I don't know about corn in the Middle East. If he's talking literally here, corn is often used as a general description for, you know, grain. Thank you.
Yeah, we have a comment in the chat room about with Mr. John Dupre.
Okay.
He says Pierce has no more chance of staying out of hell than Abe Foxman. Right. Abe Foxman. He attacked Joshua and Christians every chance he got.
Oh, he did?
And encouraged his followers. Well, I'm reading the man's post. Relaying information to patriots that was available to anyone who decided to take notice will account for nothing on Judgment Day. That is quite true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not aware that William Pierce ever attacked Jesus Christ. I think he tended to avoid that, but there may have been a time or two when he did that. So
he just posted again. He said Pierce was the one who started all these white nationalists on their opposition to Christianity.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that may have been his trend.
Well, we value everybody's opinion. We'll read it uncut. I didn't change a thing of what the man said.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. So
he was an anti-Christian, but his information on the Jews... Mm-hmm. is usable.
Right. Yeah, it's valuable in the sense that...
If he were alive today, he would not be on EFR.
Yeah,
but he's dead
for
and
sure.
We're playing selected speeches that are Jew-savvy. We need to educate about the Jews, and his material is usable just for that.
Right.
Not as a Christian moral high ground.
Right.
It is not that. It is Jew savvy information.
Yeah, and it gives
and quite accurate.
Yeah, it gives us the opportunity to fellowship with those white people in his organization. By the way, I've attended several of the National Vanguard events, and I'd say the vast majority of them are very sympathetic to Christianity. In fact, one of the persons I debated there was an Orthodox Christian. So his group is not, his group is not empty of Christians. I'd say my impression was...
Well, he had his personal views, but then everybody in these organizations is an individual, as we have individuals within our group.
Yeah.
And we vary on minor things, but the general tenet is the Jews are the enemy, and we are a separate race, and we need to band together and defend right. our white race, because right. right. we are Yahweh's chosen people. That's our take on it.
Right. And whenever a white nationalist criticizes and calls Jesus a Jew on a stick, that gives us an opportunity to explain what the Bible is really saying and explain to them that they are themselves duped by Jewish doctrine by believing that Jesus was a Jew. Okay. And this is a hard nut to crack. But at least with them, they understand that the Jews are evil. Right. With Judeo-Christians.
And the fellow says he applauds him on his novel, Turner Diaries. I read that years ago when it first came out and thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also important. Why am I thus says it's very important to have accurate history. And the National Vanguard magazine, I would say, very rarely contained any anti-Christian articles, but a lot of articles that state that the Bible is a Jewish book, because that's their basic belief, okay? So my experience with William Pierce is I haven't encountered any blatantly anti-Christian doctrine in any of their magazines or in the broadcasts that we present. Now, there may be some out there that are really blatantly bad, right? But, we don't put that out there.
Well, Bill Pierce was deceived, as are many of the Judeo-Christians out there today. And he thought that the Jews were what they claim to be, and they are imposters. They are not what they claim to be. And he didn't understand the difference between a Jew and an Israelite. And many, 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 many people out there still don't.
That's right. That's right.
So we can't come down on him hard for being duped.
Yes.
He was duped like many other people.
Like many of us were, right?
And but, I was for many years, but it is our job here at EFR to undupe.
Right. And that's bringing in
the
flock.
We are the unduperers.
Yeah. That's part of the process by which the sheep are regathered in these end times. Right? We have to reach out. And in fact, one thing is absolutely true, that there is a lot of hatred of Christian identity in these various right-wing white nationalist groups.
Okay. Why am I thus? Darlin', I hate to tell you, but once you're gone, prayers won't do you any good. You had your choice during this life. And once you're dead, you can't pray anybody out of hell.
Okay, yeah.
We're not Catholics. We don't have purgatory.
Pierce has to face his maker.
Yeah,
he has to face his maker.
He's done. He ran his race, and that was it.
Yes. Interesting. Pierce also had contempt for the Klan because they espoused Christianity, although it was in these latter days it was in name only. The Klan was Christian in name only. I didn't see any practice. They certainly didn't practice the Hebrew feast days, right? Early on, the Klan was very Christian, but that it declined in its Christian observances as time went on.
And Why Am I Thus says Eustace Mullins found the truth of our Bible before he left this world.
Yeah, and that's a great change because Eustace Mullins used to believe that the Jews were Israelites as well. So you can come around, and Eustace Mullins
sure
did.
Sure can.
Yeah, okay. Sure and that's can. Why we're here. That's why we're here, to bring back the lost sheep, the prodigal sons and daughters of Israel. That's why we're here, is to bring them back into the fold, okay? And that's why we teach the law, because if you're not a law-abiding Israelite, your chances of entering the kingdom are about as good as a Jew, right? So well, I'll leave it to Yahweh to judge William Pierce, but he's got some good, he's got some bad. I don't think he had evil intent. I mean, everything he says is for the benefit of waking up the white race. Okay.
And, well, he didn't. He just didn't see beyond this world like we do.
No, of course not. Yes. Yeah.
He was very much of the world.
Yes, he was. No doubt. Yeah, it was all about race. And here's one of the differentials between white nationalists and Christian identity. It's more than just race. It's about being a follower of Yahshua and being a member of his flock.
Well, he said, right? You did not choose me, I chose you.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
And it's not the race. I did a sermon on white skin is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our whiteness that gets us into the kingdom. Yeah. It's our obedience as chosen people that gets us into the kingdom.
And in the book of Revelation.
And that's what we're talking about now, the obedience concerning these feast days.
That's right.
These are of primary importance, especially the Feast of Tabernacles, when it is most likely that Yeshua will return, because he said he pitched his tent among us.
Right. Yeah, and that was a clue. Right.
And so many clues.
Yes. Right. So to ignore these upcoming feast days would be a huge mistake for any Christian Israelite. Okay. So at the very least, use these feast days as a connecting point to our heritage as Yahweh's chosen people.
Ooh, Pastor Dan's got a post. Christian groups choose Southern Poverty Law Center and Amazon over hate group designation. What group is that, Dan?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan will put that in the chat room, I hope. Which group is that?
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll find out. Okay.
D. James Kennedy.
Wow. He's deceased, but his church is still active. Yes. That's great. Fantastic. Well, I mean...
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Even the general Christian crowd realizes that they're under attack, too, by the ADL and SB.
Well, they're starting to realize, because once they get done with us, they're coming for the Judeos, too.
Christian identity is the canary in the coal mine, folks. Right? They've been attacking us for decades. And the Jews have no love for any kind of Christian, even if they're not white. But if you're white and Christian and obey Yahweh's laws, then they hate you 1,000 times more. That's why they hate us in identity. And that's why Yahweh has scattered us all over the world so that we're not one big easy target.
We're the one with the bright spotlight that shined right. it on the cockroaches.
Right, yeah. The kikroaches. You're mispronouncing
that.
We
expound on these feasts to get our people in line with Yahweh's will. This is not something we cooked up.
No,
these are commandments to true Israel. They're not suggestions. They are commandments. There's a big Coral Ridge Ministries.
Yes, very good.
Okay,
yes.
There we go. There's Dan again. Thank you, brother. And
we have to fight back. And if the lukewarm Judeo-Christians begin to fight back, then there's really hope for the entire race, right? Okay, but that's just one church. The vast majority of Judeo-Christians are still law-denying, and D. James Kennedy was not a law-denying Christian. He hated abortion. He didn't out the Jews by name, but whenever he criticized the pornographers and the abortionists, we knew who he was talking about, right? So he has to be careful because he has a mainstream ministry. Right? So he has to be really careful. But there has to be those of us...
We got another post. Jan Dupre says, I was at Kennedy's church for a seminar years ago, and they had pamphlets on the Federal Reserve being run by Jews.
Really?
Brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That chat room is a gold mine.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that.
We love the chat.
Uh-huh.
The chatters are so well informed.
Yeah. Yeah, if I drive by there, I might just attend one of their services. Right? Okay, so let's get back to these feasts. Oh, by the way, and then I meant to comment, white skin is not enough. The white robes in the book of Revelation are our righteousness. So if you got white skin, but you don't have the white robes of righteousness, you're not becoming part of the kingdom administration. You're just not. Okay.
Well, and you'd be lucky. One of the clan things years ago that the robes were to be white. Mm-hmm. All the colored robes and stuff came in much later.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's Pharisaism. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. In the clan. All right, let's continue here. Okay, in this chapter, we will look into these, he says, Jewish, but we know they're Israelite feast days and their spiritual counterparts in the new covenant. The material things used in Old Covenant rituals, the lampstands, the curtain in the temple, even the temple itself, represent spiritual designs in the New Testament. And of course, Paul says, we are the temple. There's no longer any need for a physical temple, folks. And the Judeo-Christians actually believe that the Jewish attempt to rebuild another temple is scriptural. It's not. I mean, they're denying their own New Testament. Paul clearly says there will not be any third temple. And there was no prediction even in the Old Testament that a third temple would be built.
Well, they're going to try. They have all the stuff cut, the stones and everything, and they're going to do a demo job on the Dome of the Rock.
Right.
most people, the lampstands are called menorahs, and they have seven candles for the 7 days of the week.
Right.
What they use for Hanukkah is not a menorah.
It's nine. It's
that
nine sticks.
That is a Hanukkah. Okay. And it has nine candles. The center candle is used to light the other eight candles. That's what the center. That's what the Hanukkah is. It's for celebration of Hanukkah. Okay. And people say, "Oh, that's a menorah." No, it is not. It is not a menorah. It is a Hanukkah.
It's just more
specifically
proof
for that feast day.
It's more proof that the Jews always change things.
Not, Hanukkah is not a Jewish feast.
No, it's not.
It is an Israelite feast.
Yeah.
And Judahite. Yeshua Messiah attended the Hanukkah and was teaching on the porch of Solomon on the side of the temple during the Feast of Hanukkah. That is the celebration of the restoring and sanctifying of the temple.
By Judah.
Getting rid of all the Greek god statues that they put in it.
Right.
And the disciples and Yeshua attended the Hanukkah.
Yes.
That was an Israelite holiday, and the miracle was for Israel, not the Jews.
Right, for Judah,
so
the
Jews
house of
have
Judah.
Tried to steal and make Hanukkah their holiday. Same way the fast of Esther. Esther was for the Judahites that overcame the Agagite.
Right.
In a story of the people of Judah,
a Canaanite,
that
yes,
were in captivity of Ahasuerus. That is a historical book, and if you read the true book of Esther, the name of Yahweh is in it.
Yeah, in the Septuagint, yes, has been deleted from the King James.
Cut down English version is like everything else they've tampered with. And try to make it a Jewish book. It's not a Jewish book. There's nothing in the scriptures that's Jewish.
That's
period.
Right.
It's not to the Jews. It's to Israel. And the Jews aren't Israel. And that's the point we try to convey.
Yeah. If Pierce can hear us in the grave, the Jews aren't Israel, Mr. Pierce. Okay. He continues. Every old covenant ordinance represents a new covenant model in this dispensation. And my argument here is simply that, and this is a continuation of our explanation of the Feast of Pentecost, the Pentecost represents the age between the spring feasts and the fall feasts. Okay, the spring feasts were fulfilled at the first advent when Yahshua walked the earth. Okay, he communed with the Israelites in his resurrection body at Pentecost, but not with his physical body. But he's going to come back in the flesh to tabernacle with us again, folks. So the whole premise here is that he is coming back to claim his flock. So
He's going to take up that crown that is rightfully
there. Right. Yes, right. It's not going to be a crown of thorns this time.
And it's what Shiloh means, to whom it belongs.
Right. Very good.
When Shiloh comes, well, that means when to whom the crown belongs comes.
Very good. People
don't know what Shiloh means. It was also the name of the city.
Yes, yes. It's usually a reference to the second coming, but very, very few Judeo-theologians have ever stated it as plainly as you just did.
And it is a symbolic name for Yeshua Messiah.
Yes.
Because he is to whom the crown belongs.
Amen, amen. Okay,
and people don't research the words.
Yes.
And all these feasts that we're talking about are symbolic of what is coming.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We have to be ready. Again, this is all about us Israelites paying attention to our heritage and, of course, paying attention to the fulfilled prophecies of Israel that have been fulfilled only by us and by no other people. And once you realize that this scripture was written to you, dear white Israelite, and not to any other people, there's not a universalist word in the entire Bible, that it's about time for white people to take the Bible seriously and forget about this Judeo-Christianity nonsense, okay? No, we don't mean any offense to those Israelites who have been flummoxed by the Judeo-Christian message, but the handwriting's on the wall. The Jews are coming after your church, whether you like it or not. And any love you give to the Jews will not be repaid in kind. They will hate you the more if you do not if you're not under their thumb. Okay?
Well, I love my pet rattlesnake.
Yeah, right. Vipers. Right. Okay, so let's just go through the feasts real quick. The Feast of Passover. The Messianic fulfillment is straightforward. The Passover lamb was slain on the first day of this feast. Well, it was on the Passover before the Feast of Unleavened Bread began, because that begins on the Sabbath, the 15th day of the year. Again, these theologians, you have to be really precise here and not include the Passover, which was the 14th, as part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, even though we had to clean out our cupboards of yeast. Nevertheless, it's a separate day. The Passover is a separate day. And then it was on this day, 2,000 years later, that Christ was slain. We now observe Passover by figuratively putting the blood of Jesus on the doorposts of our hearts. Nice expression. Quoting Matthew 26:4-5, the leaders of Israel at the time of Christ did not want to crucify him on Passover. And well, the leaders of Israel were actually Edomite Jews at that time, right? The Pharisees. They plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Hey, guess what, Pastor Steve? The Jews are risking a riot today. Why?
Well,
by suppressing Christianity.
They have run over and have controlled the Judeo-Christians for a long time.
Right.
But they are making a very bad mistake underestimating them, because if you get those Judeo-white Christians angry,
yeah,
you've got a problem.
Yes, they've got a problem. There's 200 million of us.
And the point is, once they wake up,
whew, yes. Man, oh, yeah, the wrath of the awakened Saxon.
Man.
Okay. Well, Feast of Unleavened Bread.
And we're seeing more and more people wake up all the time. The Feast
yes.
of Unleavened Bread immediately starts on the next day,
yes.
the evening of the Passover, when it ends, when the
yes.
sun goes down. That's when the Feast of Unleavened Bread
begins.
Takes place. And
yes.
the reason for the unleavened bread was that the Israelites left Egypt in haste, and they didn't have time to leaven their bread and let it rise.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also symbolic in the future of the leaven of the Pharisees that we are to avoid. So we are commanded to remove all leaven from our territory, our homes.
Yeah.
So if you have leavened bread in your house the day before, take it out to the garbage and get it out there.
Right.
If you bake your own bread, you are to take the leaven out and throw it away.
Don't be cheap.
You are to turn your toaster upside down and
clean it out.
Smack it on the side till all the crumbs come out.
Right. Right.
Anything that you have had that bread in, or leavened crackers, or anything with yeast in it, if you have soup and it has yeast extract in it, you have to throw it out.
Uh-huh.
If you have toothpaste with yeast in it, you are to throw it out.
Is there anything that yeast isn't in?
Not sit it in a little box outside to save for later. You are to dispose of it.
Okay. So
it needs to be gone. You cannot have it in your possession. You have to get it out of your house.
So that's why.
That's a commandment. That is not a suggestion. That's a commandment.
Yeah. That's why the Israelites started cleaning it out early, because it's hard to get rid of it all. Right?
And that's why spring cleaning.
That's
our
right.
tradition.
Amen. Amen. All right. So the author ties the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Revelation 11, 8 through 10. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt. And we are living in this great city of Sodom and Egypt called Mystery Babylon today, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. Okay, if this is a reference to these seven last years of tribulation, when the Jews will think they have beaten us and the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over us. The Jews will gloat over us thinking they have beaten us because they've taken all our websites down and prevented us from doing business with each other and the rest of the world. And they will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets, Israel and Judah, had tormented those who live on the earth. Yeah. Well, there's only one group on the earth that's tormenting the rest of the world with biblical doctrine, and that's Christian identity. Right? Even the white nationalists are being tormented by us. Right? Sorry, but we have to.
Well, we are a terrorist group to the Jews because
that's right.
they are terrified of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Truth bombs.
Anybody that dares to challenge Jewish supremacy, and that is what
yes.
it is.
Yes.
Anyone that challenges their supremacy over what they call the goyim, which in reality means nation, not cattle.
Yes.
We're not cattle. We are the Israelite nations, plural.
Right.
They have not been able to destroy us yet. This is an ongoing attempt at the destruction by Esau of the true Israelites.
Amen. Amen. And we're living in the age of Esau, as clearly enunciated in the prophecy by Isaac to Esau. He said, you will have the dominion over Jacob. And Revelation chapter 20 says, these are the days, the little season, the short season, until the judgment day.
A question to answer for Bavaria Man.
Okay.
The wine that is in use is new wine, not yet fermented. It is the fruit of the vine. Pari hageffen. And it is not fermented. It has no yeast added. It's just straight, basically unfermented grape juice.
Yes. Well, actually, in the fermentation process, the yeast is actually killed by the resulting alcohol. Okay. So it's not true that there's yeast in wine. Okay. That's my understanding.
It takes wine a long time to really get right.
Right. Yes.
But they use just new wine, which is just squeezed grape juice.
Okay. Right. Very good. Okay. All right. And I like Spätlese myself, the last crop of grapes. But let's continue with this description. This is a really good summary of the feast days by a Judeo-Christian pastor, okay? And then he goes on, Revelation 11, verses 11 through 12, but after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Okay, so let's assume that this this last week, last Monday, was this tremendous eclipse that crossed the center of America at Carbondale, Illinois. And in 7 years, there's going to be another eclipse, which will mark the spot again at Carbondale, Illinois, 7 years from now. If this
that was racist. The sun is racist.
Yeah, right. It's white. Right.
It didn't pass over the black people.
That's right. That's right.
So well, it was a racial eclipse.
Yes. Well, I don't think I saw a black person anywhere in my journey there. They're just not interested, right? They're just not interested. But this could have been a wake-up call to the white race. Hey, these are the 7 years of tribulation. And then he says, after they stood on their feet and terror struck those who saw them. Uh-oh, the white people are waking up. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. Uh-oh, they're seeing the exaltation of Christian Israel. They're going to see this with their eyes. And if this is the 7 years tribulation period we're entering, they're going to see it real soon. And there's a Revelation 3:9 that even says that the synagogue of Satan will worship at our feet. And we know who they are. But
in other words, they will be sucking up, trying not to be burned.
That's right. But they're not. We know them, and we're not going to take any sucking up from the Jews, folks.
Oi, I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry.
The Christians made me do it, right?
I will give you wholesale. Please don't burn me. Oi.
There shall not be a Canaanite left on the face of the earth, folks. It says it quite clearly. Book of Zechariah. All right, Feast of First Fruits. Feast of First Fruits is an illustration of God's early harvest of souls, first resurrection. During the ceremony, the first sheaf of the barley harvest is cut and presented to Yahweh. This symbolizes the Christ. He was the first to be resurrected. Amen.
First fruit of the resurrection.
Right, right.
With a promise for us to follow.
Yes, we're to imitate him.
That's the big deal.
You don't get into the kingdom if you don't imitate Yeshua. That's why he came here. He is our example, as Paul says. He quotes 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those who are in Sheol, and Sheol does not simply mean grave, that's its literal meaning, but Paul constantly talks about dead Israelites as being asleep. If you're asleep, you eventually wake up, okay? Now, what do you wake up to, right? Well, Yahshua says very clearly, there are those who will be resurrected unto damnation, and others who will be resurrected unto eternal life.
That's right, and they're talking about Israel.
Yes. Amen.
All of Israel will be resurrected, but not for the same reasons.
Right.
Some right. will be resurrected to face judgment.
Amen.
Either Some way, it's judgment. Some will be resurrected to enter the kingdom.
Yes. So he's got this absolutely correct. The Feast of First Fruits, the wave sheaf, represents Yahshua the Messiah. Okay. Day of Pentecost. The Greek word for Pentecost means 50th. It means that there are 50 days from the Feast of First Fruits to the Feast of Pentecost. And that is absolutely correct. It's 50 days
That's
from
right.
the high
it's
Sabbath.
49 days because it's seven Sabbaths. And on the 50th day.
Yes. The day after the last Sabbath, the seventh Sabbath.
Is when the Holy Spirit hit all those people.
Yes. Right.
And so many were converted.
Amen. And we we have to assume that we talked about the 3,000 who were converted on that day. They will be in the kingdom because they are the Pentecost assembly. Okay? They will be in the kingdom. They've already earned their crowns. And he continues.
Well, so will that thief that was on the right of Yeshua who was converted at the last minute.
Right. Right. Sure. If you
it
repent.
Doesn't matter. As long as you're in your body, you've got a chance.
That's right. You have a chance
but
to repent.
You have to confess with your mouth and you have to make a decision. And that is what so many people
do not want to do.
don't want to do. And that altar call and then going back to your old life doesn't mean you're converted. It means you've made a public profession, but then you have recanted by your lifestyle. You have to put off that old man and put on the new man, which means a change in lifestyle. And that is the greatest obstacle to conversion for people today. They are so stuck and love the world so much with all their toys. And when any obstacle comes before them, they will go back to their old ways. It's the stony ground. They take root temporarily, but then they will wither.
Yes. There's a great song by Steppenwolf called The Ostrich. And it goes like this about, of course, people who are disinclined to judge or make a decision. We'll stick our heads into the sand, just pretend that all is grand, and hope that everything turns out okay. Well, that's your Judeo-Christian. Okay. They've stuck their heads into the sand, but their butts are high up in the air. Easy pickings, folks. Easy pickings. They have utterly rejected the true message of the gospel. Okay? They're ostriches. Okay? And if we have to insult you to get you to respond to us, if we have to hit you over the head with a 2x4 to wake you up, that's what we have to do. It's because we love you. Didn't Yahweh say, whom he loveth, he chastiseth? So if you're listening to these mumbo-jumbo, pablum-preaching priesthood of the Judeo-Christian churches, all they're going to do is feed you more sugar, more tasteless pablum with sugar. That's all you're going to get from the Judeo-churches. I mean, don't you know that? Don't you realize that? They're just flattering you to keep you in their churches. All right? That's what you do.
They're playing upon the herd instinct of people. They feel safer in a group.
Yes, that's true.
They need social acceptance because they are morally weak. And they have to have a pats on the back from all the other. It's a back patting organization.
Yes.
Oh, you're okay. I love you, brother. You're fine, and we're all saved, and we're all going to do blah, 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 blah.
You can't use the word weak. You need to use a euphemism like encumbered. They're morally encumbered. Okay? It's impolite for you to use the word weak. Right?
Like I said, they're morally weak.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Now I understand you.
Politically
incorrect.
Politically correct. Correctness is not part of my repertoire.
There we go.
I just sort of am rather like blunt force trauma.
Right.
they are so individually insecure that they've got to be part of that herd.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Amen.
And you know what happens to a herd at the end? It's put into a cattle truck and taken to the slaughterhouse.
Right. Amen. Amen. So it was on this day of Pentecost that the Israelites received the promised Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33. Okay? But not all the Israelites, only those who were present, and ultimately those who take this message seriously and live it, will ultimately be participants in the kingdom, okay? You have to accept the meaning and observance of all of these feast days and take it all to heart because that's why it's here. That's why it's here, okay? The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost is the next heading here. The scriptures disclose a principle for us to consider as shown in the King James Bible. And the King James Bible is by and large accurate, but they have mistranslated a lot of words. And you have to do due diligence to unscramble the mistranslated words. And that's what we do here at Christian Identity. Quote, the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2:1. All right, now this was after the cross, after Calvary, precisely 50 days after Calvary. And so these Israelites had not yet been saved. They haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. So again, the idea that all Israel or all, everybody, not just Israel, they say everybody was saved at Calvary. All you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart. There's no such thing in Scripture. That is bullsnot. It's Judeo-Christian bullsnot, folks. The Bible teaches no such thing. The Greek word for fully in the text, simperlou, means to accomplish fully or fill up. In the emphasized Bible, this verse reads, and when the day of Pentecost was filling up, that's when the Holy Spirit came. That saying demonstrates that the years Israel spent mimicking the spiritual event God was illustrating through the ritual were now over. The real substance of Pentecost had arrived. On that day, as recorded in Acts, the Holy Spirit descended. It was the beginning of a whole new era for Israel, he says mankind. Pentecost was the day Joel had recorded in Bible prophecy. It was on this day the Spirit of God was to be poured upon all Israelite flesh. This gift of the Spirit empowers the Israelites to be a strong witness for Christ, as recorded in God's Word. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Pastor Steve, was anybody but Israel present at Pentecost?
No.
Okay.
Nothing in the Scripture is to anyone else but Israel.
Right.
Genesis starts out with the race of Adam, then a particular Adam, Ha-Adam, the Adam, and it lists his generations after that.
Mm-hmm. And no other races are included.
And it goes all the way up, and when you see in Yeshua's genealogy, it goes all the way back to the Adam.
Yes.
And when they say son of man in the Bible, that's not correct. It's son of Adam.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, who has brought this gospel to the ends of the earth? Certainly wasn't the Jews. The Jews have been hiding in the shadows. The extent of their preaching is that we Jews are Israel and follow us and give us your money. That's the extent to which the Jews preach to the rest of the world. They don't do any preaching. They avoid it.
No, so, they are among themselves. They don't,
that's right.
They don't proselytize.
No, they don't.
And they don't respect the converso Jews either.
That's right. That's right.
Like Madonna and Marilyn Monroe and Sammy Davis Jr. and
right?
whoever and
whoever has money.
What's her face Trump? They don't respect them. Just like the
right.
the Wiggers in when I was in prison. The whites hated them, and the blacks used them and laughed at them.
Yes.
So
yes.
They were outcast of their own making. So be it.
Yes, yes. Well, they stick out like a sore thumb, like a tear.
Yeah, they were usually somebody's girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Right. And oddly, he doesn't, he skips Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement. And you go straight to Tabernacles. So, but let's go. Well, let's just follow this. Next section here, the end time harvest will be with torrential showers. Still reading from Joel concerning the harvest, the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in Yahweh your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. Okay, remember the white robes that Israel wears in the book of Revelation is righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Okay. So, Tabernacles.
That's the new wine I talked about.
That's right. That's right.
Crushed grape juice where they used to tread it with their feet.
Right.
Ew.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Well.
Lucille Ball did a really good episode about that. Okay. All right. So he puts Tabernacles before Atonement. This is strange. Okay. But I think it's a mistake. All right. He says the Feast of Tabernacles is made up of the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. What?
No, that's not right.
No. The Feast of Trumpets is its own feast. The Day of Atonement is its own feast. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a seven-day feast of its own.
Feast of Trumpets is the day when I annoy all my neighbors.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, this is really odd. This is really odd, but it just shows you the errors of the Judeo-Christians, right? Now, this is totally incorrect. Anyway, there can be little doubt. That's why I was confused. He didn't have a heading for Feast of Trumpets. There can be little doubt that the ceremonial Feast of Trumpets from the Old Testament is an illustration of warning, battle, and victory for Israel at the end of time. As the trumpets
that's the reason for the shofar. They were used for signal horns during battle because of their penetrating sound.
Yes, and boy,
you
it is penetrating.
You can hear it above everything else.
Right?
You could. It just. I mean, it just resonates.
Yes.
And like when I blow it at the campground to announce the opening of the Feast of Tabernacles or Pentecost.
Right.
Or Passover, it sounds through the whole campground. It echoes through the whole valley when I sound that shofar.
Yes. So. Okay, I'm looking at our calendar here. Feast of Trumpets, Ethanim 1, will be on September 18th. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we anticipate the fall feast days will be fulfilled literally, not just spiritually, as this author is suggesting, but literally with a final world war. Okay? And a warning from us is that, hey, the Jews want to destroy the white race, Christian and otherwise. So
well,
be
it
ready.
Well, it tells of the period of tribulation, which we are in now.
Yeah, we're definitely in it now.
And Dan has been saying that, and I really researched it, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. We're in it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
No longer the time of Jacob's trouble. We're in the tribulation. You see all the cyber attacks, and now we have the physical attacks and killings, and they're pushing to start this war. They're going to have a war. Hell or high water, they want a war, they're going to have a war.
Yeah,
whether
right.
Whether the people want the war or not, that's why Dan's doing the Ark Project, coordinating with a whole bunch of other right. Israelites, not just one area. There's going to be
right.
arcs all over.
And that's why there's preppers.
That's an excellent idea. That's the ultimate in preparation.
Yeah. Right. And even the preppers are castigated as anti-Semitic, right? As neo-Nazis, right? Because it's only white people. It's only white people who are doing this.
It's the people that are preparing for the second coming.
Yeah, whether they realize it or not.
We're going right. to have to go out in the wilderness, and that's why I say everybody needs to stay in a tent during
yes.
Tabernacles as a practice session. You're
yes.
not going to go camping for a week. When it hits, you're going to have to
might
go
be
out
a week
and
of
get
years.
Away from the cities,
yes.
away from electricity, away from your air conditioning,
you're
away
texting.
From your automatic gas furnace,
right?
And you're going to have to tough it out.
Yes.
For an extended period of time, you may have to stay out there for 2 years. So you're going to have medical supplies and somebody with you with medical training. You're going to have to be able to get your own food. You're going to have to be able defend yourself. You're going to have extra clothing. You can't go out there with just the clothes on your back. You're going to fall off of you after a while.
Right.
And you're going to get diseases if you don't have clean clothing and soap to clean yourself.
Medical supplies.
You have to clean yourself up. You have to clean your clothing. You're going to need a bunch of sets of clothing and several sets of very high quality, and I hate to say it, expensive boots. You're going to have to bite the bullet.
Comfortable.
And get your supplies.
You break them in.
Because if you have had bad boots, you're going to have foot trouble.
Oh,
and when your feet go, you're down.
That's right. That's right.
You have to take care of those feet because they're what's going to carry you from place to place. And we're going to have to go back to the days of nomadic Israel where we lived in tents. And we're going to have to travel around because if you stay in one spot too long, they'll spot you with the drones or the satellite or whatever, and they'll attack and kill you.
Well, that's why in Vietnam they made us wear wool socks, even though they were itchy, scratchy.
Because they wick moisture away from your feet.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's very important. So it's very important to realize your cleanliness. This is why Yahweh constantly instructs the Israelites to be clean. And we had this old saying that I don't hear much anymore. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? We're to take care of our physical temples and our spiritual temples at the same time. The one does not exclude the other. Okay? Now, he says here, because we have only got about, less than 20 minutes left, that war has begun, folks. Now, the Jews have openly declared war against all white nationalists and against the Judeo churches.
No, against all white people.
Right.
Not just nationalists.
Right. Thank you. The 10 days pass between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. This is why in Revelation it reads, quote, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. So what are all these Judeo-Christians who say we're already saved and we have nothing to worry about? Bible doesn't say anything like that.
Yeah, we're going to be ruptured.
Yeah. So all these Judeo-Christians who are anticipating the rupture will get ruptured, not raptured. You're going to be tested. And the Feast of Trumpets is going to announce the days of testing. Okay? The number 10 is symbolic of a time of testing in Scripture, and the Israelite nation is aware of this. During this time between holy days, Israelites reflect over their transgressions of the past year and are of a repentant spirit. Not just the past year, all of your past sins. And this is because the Day of Atonement is a day of repentance. Get your act together. The Day of Atonement was the most important day of Israel's entire year. On this day, reconciliation was made for the sins of the nation, sins that could separate Israel from divine favor. And by the way,
let me make a point on that. Not reconciliation, propitiation.
Okay.
And the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur, the day of covering over. And it was celebrated by a yearly sacrifice to cover over the sins of Israel.
Right, for the nation. For the nation, yes.
For the nation. That is done away with. It is now the day of covering over by the blood of Yahshua. No more sacrifices on that day.
Mm-hmm.
The priest doesn't go into the Holy of Holy and call upon the name of Yahweh, because the Holy of Holy is with Yahweh at this point, and we have individual temples which we occupy.
Yes.
We afflict ourselves by fasting on that day in honor of the final perfect sacrifice made at Passover by Yeshua Messiah.
Yeah, and since we are the temple, we have to make ourselves holy, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
There is no more covering over by the blood of bulls and goats.
That's right. That's
it
over.
It is the covering over by the eternal purifying blood of Yeshua Messiah, which covers over our sin for all time. But we have to make an individual covenant on a personal level with him, not by running up to some altar in some Judeo-Christian church. going into our closet and praying fervently to him.
Yes.
That's how you make the covenant. And when you have achieved the covenant, you stay within the rules. Oh, that nasty word. The rules of the covenant, following the teachings of Yeshua Messiah, and what he taught was Torah.
Amen. Amen. And
he did not teach all this other added claptrap that has been put in here by our Judeo-Christian churches, church doctrine. He taught to obey the Torah given by Moshe, and he set aside the Levitical priesthood because of the infiltration of the Edomites and said, you are not fit, and your sacrifices are no longer needed.
Right.
So they're done away with. The Amen. Sacrificial offerings for the remission of sin are fulfilled.
Yes.
And the need for the sacrificers is done away with. But the rest of the Torah stands.
Amen. Amen. Why would Paul bother to teach any of this stuff?
Until all is fulfilled. All has not been fulfilled.
Right. And then why would Paul bother to teach all of this stuff if everybody was saved at Calvary? It's nonsense. He quotes Hebrews 9, verses 7 through 9. Only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way to the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. All right? So you had to get rid of the physical temple in order for the people of Israel to become the new most holy place. All right? So any Judeo-Christian who thinks that the building of a third temple in which they will offer blood ritual sacrifices yet again is somehow, it totally denies what Paul is saying here in the New Testament.
Well, they've got all that stuff ready, the Jews do. They want to build a new temple, but I don't think Yahweh's going to allow it.
No, it's not. Okay, finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles or Booths was an Old Covenant observance that lasted 7 days. At the end of the summer, when all the fruit from the harvest of the land was brought into the barns, the Hebrew tribes of Israel would offer various sacrifices unto God from the harvest. This feast started on the 15th of October. Well, it varies from year to year. And that was even on any calendar. It varies from year to year. So 15th of October is incorrect. And it was a time of thanksgiving to celebrate and praise God for the abundance of the summer harvest, which the Jews never reaped because the Jews are not farmers. God also, and they're Canaanites who were a herd-keeping people. They were almost exclusively herders, not farmers. God also had the people gather tree boughs and erect booths to dwell in during the celebration.
The Canaani were the merchants.
And yes, they were merchants and herders. That's what they were. They sustained themselves with goats, sheep, and cattle. And they probably picked naturally growing vegetables like potatoes. Okay, but they didn't bother to plant and reap. They never did that. The Jews never do that. You'll never meet a Jew who does that. Simply will not meet such a Jew.
They might own the land, but they'll hire the work done.
Right. They hire Palestinians to do the work, even in the Israeli state.
Then when payday comes, they just shoot them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
Now that's bad. I'm sorry.
No, but you're right. They bulldoze their houses over, right? So you might as well shoot them. These booths represented the booths in which the Israelites dwelled while in the wilderness when God delivered them from Egypt. Surely the Old Testament booths constructed of palm boughs were used for protection from the blazing sun. This Old Covenant ritual depicting protection from harm's way is showing us another ordinance with a new covenant design. The Israelites will rejoice in Yahweh at the end of the spiritual harvest in the hot summer season that lies ahead. Our joy will be made full as we take our place in the great marriage feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Then that's the last great day. The harvest of the wheat will be in the barns. At this time, we will be enclosed by divine sanctuary into the Ark of Safety, what the Judaizers call the rapture. As with wrath of God rains down, we shall be eating and rejoicing in the heavenly shore. All right? So the Bible is very clear that there will be those who are rejoicing at this last great day, on this last great day, but the rest of the world will be in utter terror.
Well, this rapture business, yes, the remnant will be caught up to meet Yeshua in the clouds when he returns, but not before the tribulation.
Yes,
we will be translated into our new bodies, probably well-armed at that point, and we will come back
right
as Yahweh's army. I just did I just did a wake-up call on who is the sword of Yahweh and who's the battle axe and weapons of war. We're not going to avoid this final conflict. We're going to be right in the middle of it, but not as fragile earthly men. We yes. won't be the old Adams. We will be the new Adams. And we will be as what they call the angels. We will not be able to be harmed by mankind's weapons. No weapon formed against you will prosper Amen. On that day.
Yes, yes.
We are going to come back and kick Jew butt.
Right? Right?
Pardon my French.
Yeah, and it was the Jews' ancestors, Cain's progeny, that invented the weapons of war. Okay? Yeah. And that's why they control the weapons of war down to this day. And they have arranged the fate of white people in staged wars since 1815. And had been making war against the white race with usury and other economic devices since they've been on this planet. All right? Our
There's
people have yet
saying,
to wake up.
Old saying, what goes around comes around.
Right? But in this case, it takes 6,000 years, but it will come around, folks. Yahweh yeah. has promised no. there will be a day of judgment.
Yahweh's not bound by time.
No, he's not. Right?
Time is only exists to show our progress or lack thereof.
Yes.
That's all time is for. When the kingdom fully arrives in its entirety on this planet, there will be no more time.
Right. That's right.
It will just eternity is eternity. Why yes. bother?
Yes. So, even as the children of Israel headed from their booths to Canaan's land, we'll be preparing to inhabit the land of Canaan, spiritually speaking. The year of Jubilee followed these feasts in Old Testament symbolism. This was a time when all the land that had been forfeited through the years was redeemed to the original owners. Adam. True Israel. The year of Jubilee represents the coming millennial kingdom. Well, they call it millennial. It's the kingdom. It represents the kingdom with Redeemer Yahshua taking possession of Earth's domain. Very good. Thank you very much. No argument there except for the millennial business. It's essential that we understand what our fate is. Our fate is to be protected from wrath. The only way to be protected from the wrath of Yahweh, folks, is to participate in these fall feasts. That's why yep. these fall feasts that are coming up are so essential. This is aligning ourselves with Yahweh, asking for his protection. And the more we study our own heritage and obey his laws, the more likely we are to have this protection when the proverbial shinola hits the fan.
Well, it says that if you read in the scripture that there will be the mark of Yahweh written upon the forehead of the faithful, and when the angels are released, quote-unquote, angels, to do the destruction, they will not harm those with that mark on their forehead. Okay, mm-hmm. but the ones with the mark of the beast, it's open season.
That's right. That's right.
It says the angel with the inkhorn went around and wrote the mark on the foreheads of the faithful. That was future prophecy in Ezekiel. And it is reflected again in Revelations that those with the mark of Yahweh on their foreheads will be protected.
Yes.
And that is the knowledge of the name of Yahweh and his laws that he has written upon our hearts and upon our foreheads, on our mind. It's symbolic. Those that obey. Obey what? Obey the feast days. Obey the commandments. Yahshua said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
Yes. So the reason we're doing this early, if for example, let's say that the year 2024, the end of the seven-year double eclipse period, let's assume that is the target year when these fall feast days do really mean something and they come to pass. Well, you better be getting yourself ready now, because if you're a coke addict and you attempt to feast the tabernacles and you got no coke, there's a term called withdrawal, right? You're not going to make it, all right? If you're addicted to pharmakia, you better get yourself healthy now. Start getting yourself healthy now. Disengage from Mystery Babylon. Stop participating in Mystery Babylon's commerce now, and that includes the drugs they give you legally and illegally. You must cleanse yourself of all of the poisons of this Jewish world, this Jewish world order. You must disentangle yourself from this world and become Yahweh's. This is what you have to do. And you have to start now, because if we're correct that 2024 symbolizes the last chance, you better be ready. Because tabernacles, going out in the land, and Pastor Steve's an expert, he can live off the land. But if you can't even live in a tent without getting irritated and agitated and wondering what to do next, you're in big trouble.
Well, I'm not the only expert out there. I think Dan is somewhat knowledgeable. Mm-hmm,
right? Yeah.
Being a military guy.
Yeah.
He's getting a bunch of other people together. Doc Waterman.
Right.
He's got a whole crew together. I mean, and there are people that we just don't hear about.
Right. Well, I'm an outdoorsman.
They're out there, all the Vietnam vets.
Right.
All the old dudes that were in country, in the crap.
Right.
They know how to live.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of guys have just disappeared and are still out there.
Right.
That's why the soldiers that came back from Iraq, they have designated all the veterans as a threat group.
Right. The people they used to create their Jew World Order now are designated their enemies. See, this is what the Jew World Order does to people. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, but people are waking up. They're beginning to realize what the Jew World Order really is. And Mr. Pierce was making people aware of the evil inclinations of the Jews. We thank him for that. But Yahweh will be his judge, not us. So we don't presume to judge any man, least of all each other. So, because Yahweh, you have enough to deal with on that day of judgment. You will simply
play the
have
music,
it.
Brother. We're almost
all right.
Out
there. I don't want this show to end. I'm having so much fun.
Oh, man. Well, the chat room is hopping. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
We
right.
love y'all. Yahweh bless and keep you.
Okay, thank you. Next time.